Blog Talk Radio.
Again, it's time. Hello again. This is Fernando on the Fernando Poniente Show. It is Sunday. It's time for the talk fest of the night, of the week, actually. Today is August the 8th, the 8th of August, 2010. Once again, it is Sunday, 10 p.m. Segment or episode for today. We got a lot of things to talk about. Once again, we'll talk about what do you want to talk about. Chat with me if you go to the blogtalkradio.com/Fernando Poniente Show. I'm sorry, that's blogtalkradio.com, the Fernando Poniente Show. Click on the chat button and you should be able to chat with me. Also, if you want to call in, 1-347-884-8125, that's a number you are going to call. You got to call that number in order for me to connect you. And also, you got to press 1, just press 1 if you want to connect. And if you are on my Facebook friend, you're going to see that I am online right now. So, we'll catch up. Who's that? Anyway, we'll do the On This Day in a little bit here, and also we'll do a little segment. We'll do the opinions that matters. My co-host Don's going to be here pretty soon. Also going to do some weird and unusual news of the day, of the week. Some sports recap on what's going on in the sports world. Plus, we'll do the current events and what's going on. We'll keep you updated on what's going on around you. So, what was that? Some talking in the background. All right, so let's welcome our co-host, Don. So what's new for your week? Well, let me tell you my week first. Well, I got new computer, the laptop. That is pretty good. It is Gateway, you know, or other people call it Gateway. I don't know. It's Gateway. Gateway is a pretty nice laptop. It is a, Intel i3 has a 350M processors. It has the Intel HD graphics. Contains 500 gigs in it, an hard drive, and also it has a 4 gigs memory, DDR memory, and it's also HDMI. It's a pretty sweet machine here. That it's not paid for, not paid yet, you know. But it's, you know, I'm getting my work done. And I'm actually broadcasting using this laptop. It's pretty good. So, what else? Yeah, there's nothing really happening going on with me. I live with a pretty boring life. I work, I get home and work and go to church. That's about it. Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's boring life, but I'm just saying I'm happy, and you know I can't really ask for more, you know. It happens on the Saturday. Actually, I got yesterday, not remarried. I'm not saying remarried, but it's just renewed our vows. got married inside the church, members of the Church of God International in Gurnee, Illinois. So that was the highlight of the week, you know, as you say. And also getting my new computer. That's the highlight of the week. What about you, Dawn? What is the highlight of the week?
That's a lot of highlights you got there. I mean, you got a new laptop, and you got what? You kind of said your wedding vows. That's nice. Nice. Also, I said my wedding vows, but not the day of. You kind of said it the day after. But anyway, at least we participated. It was pretty nice, like for our wedding, sitting and listening to the Bible, what the Bible, I mean, doctrines of the Bible have to say about marriage. So it was really nice. And what's it called? So that's the highlight of the week. Also, I'm thankful that the Lord blessed us where I'm able to be on the dance team at church, because I don't like to exercise, but, you know, dancing for the Lord, I actually practice the dance for usually Saturday night. And this past week, it was kind of a workout, so I'm thankful for that. That it gives me a reason to be fit without getting bored with the exercise, because every week it's like kind of different so far. Until this week, I did dance before, but it's good to, you know, improve. And it's for the Lord, you know, so that's the most important thing. And so that's kind of the highlights of the week. I'm just really thankful we're able to go to church 3 days a week, and we are planning a trip to New York. So I'm just checking prices for, like, renting a big van. You know, I heard about the Chevy Express, like, really nice van. So, yep, those are highlights of the week. Also, my husband, it occurred to me that we own five businesses. We have five businesses, and I go with him once a week, and he asked me to help him with another business, one of the five, or one or so of the five. So it's good. Good. I'm glad I'm able to help him out. All right. So that's the highlights of the week for me. And actually, Fernando, I have a story that I want you to feature. I don't know if you want me to tell about it or if you wanna do it.
Yeah, you know, we'll do little sections of that in a little bit. You know, let's go on with our show here. Someone's chatting with me right now, trying to chat with me on Facebook. Is Maricel Poniente is trying to chat with me. And it says, how are you, and all that. I think it's one of my relatives in the Philippines. Okay. So I'm just going to respond to that. Anyway, let's continue on, shall we? We'll start with on this day, okay? Okay. Yeah, so we'll do the, I don't know how to do that. Here we go. We'll do on this day. Like I said, it's August 8th in 2010. Today, highlights in history. You might want to write this stuff down, because this is meat. It's good, you know, learning some stuff here. On August the 8th, 1974, President Richard Nixon announced that he would resign following damaging revelations in the Watergate scandal. That was back in 1974. I wasn't even born yet. I wasn't even born yet. So, August the 8th, 1896, Marjorie Rawlings, the American author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Yearling, was born. Actually, following her death on December 14th, 1953. And also on this date in 1815, Napoleon Bonaparte set sail to St. Helena, in the South Atlantic, to spend the remainder of his days in exile. This was back in 1815. 1844, Brigham Young was chosen to lead the Mormons following the killing of Joseph Smith. Mormons, Mormonism, another false religion. Thomas Edison, back in 1876, received a patent for the mimeograph. That I did not know.
What year was that?
Mimeograph, 1945, this is a little fast forward. President Harry S. Truman signed the United Nations Charter. Big mistake. 1945, the Soviet Union declared war against Japan during World War II. Big mistake. 1963, Britain's Great Train Robbery took place as thieves made off with 2.6 million pounds of banknotes from a train. They stopped north of London. Another big mistake there. 1968, Richard M. Nixon was nominated for president at the Republican National Convention in Miami Beach and chose Maryland Governor Spiro T. Agnew to be his running mate. Big mistake. 1988, U.N. Secretary General Javier Perez de Cuellar announced a ceasefire between Iran and Iraq. Yeah, whatever that, ceasefire, what, I don't know. 2005, Iran resumed work at the uranium conversion facility after suspending activities for 9 months to avoid UN sanctions. Yeah, I don't think they did. I think they just moved that. UN is just, I don't know, that's a different topic. But anyway, 2006, Senator Joseph Lieberman lost the Connecticut Democratic primary to political newcomer Ned Lamont. And actually, Lieberman won a re-election as an independent. 2008, the Summer Olympics Games open in Beijing. 2008.
Wow.
I remember that. I remember that. I'm on air. Okay. All right. Hold on a second here. Let me okay. All right. We're right now. I just lost it. There you go. Oh man. There you go. 2008, former Democratic vice presidential nominee John Edwards admitted having had an extramarital affair. That is just wrong. 2009, Sonia Sotomayor was sworn in the United States Supreme Court. She's the first Hispanic and third female justice. That is pretty neat. Pretty neat. Current birthdays, those are most memorable birthdays, I'm talking about like celebrities and all that stuff. Roger Federer turns 29 years old today. He's a tennis player. Dino Laurentiis turns 91 years old. He's a producer. Esther Williams turns 89, an actress. Country singer Mel Tillis turns 78. Actor Dustin Hoffman turned 73. Wow, he's old.
Wow.
Dustin Hoffman, yeah, the 73 years old.
Wow.
Turned 73 today.
Maybe he's
still old. I don't know. Actor from Chips, Larry Wilcox, and he turns 63. Actress Connie Stevens turned 72 today. Keith Carradine, the actor, turned 61. The Kung Fu guy? Yeah, that's him. The Kung Fu. Remember that Bruce Lee was supposed to do the Kung Fu TV sitcom? And he gave it to the white guy. That's Keith Carradine.
Wow.
Deborah Norville, TV personality, turns 52 today. Rock musician from U2 turns 49. He's The Edge is his name, I think. The rapper Kool Moe Dee turns 48, and also one of the singers from NSYNC, Jay-Z Chazaz, turns 34. Actress from Heroes, Tawny Cypress, turns 34. Singer Singer, no, I don't know, that's the blonde, but yeah. Singer, 98 Degrees, Drew Lecce, turns 34. And we're going to go to my friends on Facebook. Dun, 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 dun. On a birthday. Who's having birthdays today? Let me click that. Let me click it on my birthday. Birthday. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. All right. Here we go. Today's birthday is Juana Marie Kunananviri. Actually turns 18 years old today. Turns 22 years old today. Stephanie Rowney. Also 21 years old. Liz Gunther. 35-year-old Deborah Paget. Turns 35. Also 35 years old. Marites Tomon is actually turning 35 today. I believe this is her flesh. Birthday, Marie Tess, Sister Tess, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks, Marizelle, for understanding that. You know, I'll say thanks. Listen in if you can. This is my cousin. All right. Where is that? Okay. Facebook friends' birthdays. Dorothy Urk turns 50 years old, actually, on August 10th. Fame Respect, August 10th. I don't know how old, but Jasmine Ray Donnelly, August the 10th. Ryan Field turns 21 years old on Tuesday. Krista McIntosh turns 21 years old on Wednesday.
Wow.
Krista Donner turns 24 years old on Wednesday.
Wow. They know each other.
They do know each other. Krista McIntosh and Krista Donner, they do know each other. Nicole Williams actually turns, I don't know, there's no age in here. Nicole Williams turns birthdays on Wednesday. Andrew Swab. August 12th, and Diana Cueva, Thursday, August 12th. There's no, and Matthias Reiger turns 51 years old on Thursday, the 12th. That's for this week. Thai Nguyen, 22 years old. I hate to pronounce that name. Magdalena Sassin turns 31 years old on Friday, August the 13th. On Friday, let's see. Yeah, it must be hard for the Friday the 13th, which is 31 years old. See, the 31, you know, if you flip backwards, I would say start praying. Marlene Jefferson, I was just kidding, Magdalena. I don't know who you are, but you're one of my friends on Facebook. So Marlene Jefferson, 6 to 7 years old, and I think that's it. I think we just got those things done. So I'm going to give you, I'll give you a little what do you call it? A little segment on it? I know that you said you want to do your little story. You want to do that. But here we go. Story for myself.
All right. I mean, it's kind of old story, but I just found out about it. It's over a month old. So maybe you guys already heard this, but I didn't know it until a few days ago. So we're going to go with, you heard of snakes on a plane, huh? What about maggots on a plane? Maggots forced plane back to gate in Atlanta.
Ew.
Yeah. This is Associated Press in Atlanta. Maggots. This is on, I found this on MSNBC.MSN.com. All right. So, Atlanta, maggots falling from an overhead bin from a spoiled container of meat forced a U.S. Airways flight to return to the gate so the bin could be cleaned. Passenger Donna Adamos says she noticed a couple of flies on the Monday flight when she got to her seat but didn't think much of it. Then as the plane was taxiing, she heard a passenger behind her causing a commotion and refusing to take her seat. Then I heard the word, "Maggot!" And that kind of got everybody creeped out, she said. All of a sudden, I felt somebody flick the back of my hair, and on the front of me came a maggot, which I flicked off of me. A passenger had the container in a carry-on bag and brought it on Monday's flight, heading from Atlanta to Charlotte, North Carolina, said U.S. Airways spokesman Todd Laymaker. The pilot announced that they were returning to the gate because of a minor emergency on board. And the flight attendants told everyone to sit down and be calm, Adamo said. I felt like they were crawling all over me. Sorry, I didn't mean to mock. I felt like they were crawling all over me because it only takes one maggot to upset your world, she said. And as they're telling us to stay calm and seated, I see a maggot looking back at me and I'm thinking, these are anaerobic, flesh-eating larvae that the flight attendants don't have to sit with. A shaky cell phone video shot by Adamo as passengers deplaned shows a small white maggot wriggling across a seat. Once the plane returned to the gate, the passengers were asked to get off and a crew boarded to clean up the mess, Laymaker said. The flight then continued on to Charlotte, where the plane was taken out of service and fumigated out of an abundance of caution. What do you think about that story, Fernando? Isn't that interesting?
Well, I thought it was going to be something really interesting, to be honest with you. I almost lost my dinner. Just listening to that. I mean, how refresh my memory. How did that maggots actually got in there?
Somebody brought a spoiled container of meat, or they brought a container of meat in their carry-on bag, and the meat in the container was left behind.
Okay, that's just nasty, first of all. Second of all, I mean, why in the carry-on, let me get this straight. So he's on the plane already, right? He went through the tight security,
right?
With the meat in it,
yeah,
in the container.
Yeah, I mean, he can be bringing that on the airport.
I mean, someone has to be, you know, I'm upset. I'm outraged. I mean, what? Where is this, Atlanta, Georgia?
Unless you know another place in Atlanta. So
just double check
that story. Let's see.
Yeah, that's got to be Atlanta, Georgia. But what I'm saying is
trying to say,
you know, someone's got to be responsible, you know, to what happened. You know what I mean? I don't want to play the hypothetical game, but, you know, what if? It would have been a bomb. The meat, the container.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Well, thanks for sharing your little story, Don. You know, you deserve. Oh man, that's pretty cool. Well, where are we at right now? So we'll go with the sports. We'll go with sports. How about that? Another sports. Mm-hmm. That's right. Happy hour in the sports. Get that. Okay, headlines. Tigers actually finished up Sunday 7. No, you know, he's kind of the worst event, actually. Wow, 7-7. I can't believe that. I'm just reading it. 7-7. Finished at 7-7. Tiger Woods. Oh, my goodness. Jay Morrow has 17 Ks and loses a no-no in the ninth. Okay. T.O. Terrell Owens. What happened to him? I'm watching him. Watching a little thing here. I don't think he's going back to the Cowboys. And he says, quote, "It wasn't my fault." And whose fault is it? You know, no one's going to take responsibility for anything. Florida State receiver Fortson has actually kicked off the team. He has Florida State has dismissed junior receiver Jermone Fortson from the football team. Actually, has been dismissed for a violation of team rules. You got to follow the rules, people. You don't get kicked off. Okay, here we go. In the sports again, Barack Obama plays with the NBA All-Stars. What is this? So, President Barack Obama pulled together an informal dream team of current and former basketball superstar Sundays today. But only a few people got to see it. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo Anthony, and the other NBA All-Stars, of course, they joined Obama in Washington to entertain wounded troops. The present-day stars were joined by some retired legends, including Bill Russell and Magic Johnson. College player Maya Moore of the Connecticut Huskies women's team also played. The game was played for a group of what they call the Wounded Warriors, troops who were injured in actions, and participants in the White House's mentoring program. It took place at a gym inside Washington's Fort McNair, a short drive from the White House. The president was inside a gym for about 2 hours. The president can really, he's in good shape. You know, it's like 40, I don't think 48, I don't think it's 50 yet, but, you know, he keeps himself active. The reporters assigned to keep tabs on the president were shot out of the gym. They were forced to wait in vans outside. That's why media coverage was blocked. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said Obama just, quote unquote, wanted to play. Sure. After the game, some of the players joined Obama and a group of his friends for a barbecue. Hey, where's the beer? Usually do that. at the White House, capping the president's 49th birthday week. Wow.
49?
Yeah, birthday week.
Wow.
It's not birthday, it's birthday week.
Yeah, right.
I want to start celebrating that.
Yeah, birthday
week. Birthday week. Hey, let's have some barbecue. Well, what's the occasion? It's my birthday week.
Right.
A small tent and tables decorated with sunflowers and yellow and white tablecloth were being set up on the south lawn when Obama returned from playing basketball. The White House said the meal will include shrimp from the Gulf of Mexico.
Shrimp,
yeah. A little tasty, probably tastes like beefy oil spilled. And kind of reminds him, you're going to take some shrimp. It's the president, it tastes like oil. Well, straight from the, yeah, we got that for, $1.99 a pound. The First Lady Michelle Obama and daughter Sasha returned to the White House on Sunday night after a vacation in Spain. Obama's older daughter Malia is away at summer camp. Oh, that was pretty. How would you go to vacation without your husband?
Right.
And he's over there, he's home playing basketball.
Yeah.
That is the sports of the day. Dun. And I want to do the I got you thing. Well, it's not an I got you. Well, I told you. It's loud. Okay. You all know? Who's this? Hitchens. What's going on with Hitchens? He looks terrible. He was on CNN. Yeah, let me see if I can listen to this. Oh, that's just a commercial. I don't like that. But anyway, how do I stop this? Wait, stop! There you go. We're playing about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When did you realize something was wrong?
This is an interview of Anderson Cooper to the Hitchens. I don't think you can hear it because my... I don't think you can hear it because they're talking about, man, Hitchens, this is, you know, he's like, he's an atheist. Yeah, he's actually he developed, I think, cancer. So drinking and smoking in excess might be not the path for longevity, which he said, which is pretty. Well, the thing that Anderson Cooper would ask Hitchens is, he'd say, "Come on, you'll pray on your deathbed." I thought I liked that. Winston Pitts, it's on air. On my Facebook right now, chatting with me. Winston Pitts, okay. We'll do that, Winston. Come on in, call in if you need. Yep. So we'll continue on here. All right. Number 19. A teenager, 14-year-old Dutch. What's his name? And Laura Decker. Just won a legal battle against child protection authorities to let her sail around the globe by herself. Oh my goodness.
How old is he?
14. Now you could say, well, she's 16 now, I believe. Now you could say kids do the most amazing things. Or or some things. if you remember back in June, I'm actually a 16-year-old Californian Abby Sunderland tried the same thing. She actually tried to calling number again. What is this again? Oh, someone's trying to get in my calling number. What is it again?
347.
All right, 347. 884. 8125. That is the number you got to call, folks. 347. 884-8125. 347-884-8125. Press 1 when you call, and I will be there. I'll be there. Where was I? I am lost. But anyway, yeah, you guys remember that back in June, the 16-year-old Californian Abby Sunderland, you know, she tried to actually sail around the globe by herself, and she actually came out missing. They had to do like a little search and everything like that, and thank God that they found her. She was capsized in the Indian Ocean, and she had to be rescued by a French fishing boat. Yep, I know. And so, once again, I say endeavors like this are purely selfish. I can tell you that. Purely selfish. Because it's an act of daring that depends on others risking their lives to save you. Once you screw up, that's what happened. How long will you be on the air? I don't know. Till 11:30? Yeah, till 11:30 p.m. Okay, Central Standard Time. Central Standard Time. There you go. All right. What was I? What was I talking about? Oh yeah, yeah. You know, it's an act of daring thing that depends on a rider risking their lives to save you. Like those people that climb up the Kilimanjaro mountains or the Mount Everest. You know. They do have to get lost, or they get lost in the woods, and they do it all in this daring thing. Man, 16-year-old is like sailing. Know that back in June?
Well, I remember those little kids that, like, they said he went in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I say to you, if you really want danger, you'd sign a contract of refusing to help when everything turns badly. If you really want danger, sign a contract. I don't want to help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we don't have to put in all this rescue team, rescue people don't put their lives on the line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know it's going to be I'm just saying that everyone will be too decent to abide by it, even if it kills them. Great, Winston. I will call on Skype. Okay, call on Skype. Good. You can use a Skype when you call me. Call me. Use the Skype. It keeps getting interrupted. Let's move on here. So think about it. Think about that, people. If you want the real danger, you know, tell them that you're the only one help. And if you want danger, find yourself help to be like Marines or be, you know, an Army. And let's say you want to be drop off in the middle of Iran or something like that. If you want danger. Okay. And look, the real pill. You know, I mean, all these things appeal on this trip, like going to Iran or Iraq. You know, this is all based on things that, because you could die. You know, these people, like, they go into danger stuff, like this 14-year-old, 16-year-old going sailing. She knows the people are going to rescue her. She knows it's going to, you know, once they rescue her, it's going to be all over the news. And all this fame. What do you say about that? I'll give you 30 seconds.
Also, like when you're 14, you have all these emotions. You're trying to adjust to puberty. I mean, and all that stuff. So she probably like thinks that she wants to be all grown up and stuff like that. But she doesn't really like realize the danger. She's just caught up with her puberty emotions. I think that's my opinion. So what I'm saying is that somebody needs to set her boundaries, saying, "No, you're not old enough yet."
Yeah, but, you know, kids like that, like you said, you know, they tend to rebel. You know, I don't know if she has some kind of consent from her parents sailing that. I don't think her parents would say, "Yes, honey, go ahead. By yourself, go sail the Pacific Ocean." I don't know. If the parents did, they are the most irresponsible parents I've ever known.
Unfortunately, but even Jesus was saying about how, you know, parents are going to, like, lose their natural affection for their kids. And sometimes parents, like, do bad things in front of their kids. Sometimes parents, like, think, "Oh, I don't want to discipline my kid because I love them and I would never want to hurt them. I don't want to put them in a timeout," or however they discipline they should be. I mean, it's the parents that won't even put their kids in a timeout. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, kids try to test their limits, and parent needs to set the boundaries and saying. And, like, I think you said she went to the court, and the court gave her permission or something. The court, the judge should have said, "No, you're too young." I mean, I think, like, my opinion is, like, I was going to say, even 18 years old is too young. Have you seen, what's that movie we seen last summer where the 18-year-old went to Paris and they were supposed to be with some adults. They were supposed to be with the friends. The girl was supposed to be with her friend's parents and the girl. And some people seen them at the airport and they followed them. And they actually were, like, forced to take drugs, like, I think they were tied up or something, forced to take drugs, and they were sold into human trafficking, which is like prostitution. So my opinion is even an 18-year-old is too young. I mean, I understand that there's some, like, for example, some 12-year-olds that know how to babysit. They're like, act like they're grown up, and you can tell. And then there's some 12-year-olds that are not qualified to babysit because they act like they're 7 years old, you know. So that's what I have to say.
That is just, yeah, that's things. But we got to move on. So shall we? we'll move on to the right things here, and then we'll do the topic. I don't know what topic you want to talk about when we come to the Bible, so you want to get your notes, and maybe we'll talk about that. But anyway, we'll go to the list of things. Hey, you guys, do you know about the mosque being built at the Ground Zero, right? So last week decision, but actually by the landmarks, Landmarks Preservation Commissions, they actually want to allow the construction of a 13-story or $100 million mosque near the Ground Zero.
They will or will not?
They will, yeah. So one was that actually to earn a legitimate criticism. A lot of people that's criticized are saying that you can't build that in that because it's, you know, it's really close to the thing. But and most New Yorkers understand the real-world effects to it, you know, of this mosque being built so close to the grounds of the 9/11 attacks in New York City. Unfortunately, these concerns are being clouded out or ignored by the virtual world of thinking of political correctness. That's what is played throughout the country by some members of government. The Obama administration avoids using the term, what, Islamic radicals or war on terror. They don't want to do that anymore. Yeah, thinking these terms will offend Muslims. And so Mayor Bloomberg, another liberal, defends the building of the mosque to display what he said, openness, acceptance, and religious liberty. I'll tell you what, this political correctness mentality overlooks and reinforces the effects of the mosque on New Yorkers. We're going to New York this week, and I feel their pain. Especially those who were involved, the family of the 9/11 victims, especially them. I was reading the article about a week ago. I think my radio is, the batteries, I thought I was dying. I was like, okay. Reading the, I think it was on a Huffington Post. At Russell Simmons, actually Kimora Lee Simmons' ex-husband.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now I know why. No, I know why he's an ex-husband. But anyway.
Islamic.
Well, he says the. So those people that oppose or the opposition to the mosque being built near Ground Zero amounts to bigotry or more, specifically to the Islamophobia people. He writes, actually, in my backyard, I have no tolerance for new fear-mongering, hateful rhetoric that has sprung up over the proposed center. We know that we must fight anti-Semitism and Islamophobia altogether. Let us pass this test with grace and dignity, and I will not stand for any sort of Islamophobia in my backyard. Now, this is the key point, because like Simmons, like I said, I also think fear of Islam plays a role. But the fear lurks within folks like him, who fears kicking off Islam, or worse, looking intolerant. They don't want to look like, let's say, like, you know, I don't want to be called Islamophobe. I don't want to be called a racist or anything like that, you know. And it's also, it's fears of debate. Rather than argue against my point that it's simply obnoxious to build a mosque, they rather reflexively boast racism or race. Islamophobia? That's what I said. Please. You know, like I sit here in the show all the time, like I said every time, I'm totally tolerant. If they want to build a thing, you know, the mosque, go for it. But if you just go for it, you know, I don't think people realize that the imams that want this mosque being built is the one that's saying they don't want to impose the Sharia law. I do have Muslim friends and everything like that. They're not radicals. They don't want to say, hey, let's change the constitution. Let's build the mosque into the ground zero of 9/11. What do you think? I'll give you about a couple minutes to say something for that, and we'll move on.
So, yeah, about that, I don't really know what to say except for, oh, I remember I was going to say something, and I, you know, the people in the beginning of the story that you were saying, it was about that how, like, the liberals, they don't want to, like, be, look intolerant or something like that. They want to tolerate everything because maybe they think that they'll become those Muslims' friends, and if they're really extreme Muslims, they're being deceived. And actually, Jesus foretold the things like this to come so that we will know, as which is actually, I believe, our topic for tonight is how God gave us proof that he exists. But and one of the proofs that he exists is actually because he told us what's going to come to pass, where mother is going to be against daughter, father is going to be against son, daughter-in-law is going to be against mother-in-law, you know, things like that. It's going to say, I mean, Bible says, like, how the daughter will not, you know, the daughter will be against her mother, and it also tells about how, you know, parents are going to lose their natural affection towards their kids, natural affection like loving and taking care of them. They're going to lose that, and kids are going to be rebellious against their parents. And, you know, that's actually our topic. So what I'm saying is that those people are just like, because I believe that they are being deceived. Perhaps they think that, oh, well, if I'm friends with them, then it's going to be better for, you know, if they're friends with them, then it's going to be better for them. But that's not how the extremist Muslim, Islamic people believe. They believe that if you're not Muslim or Islamic, that you're an infidel and you should be killed. So it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not a Christian, or you let them have their way, you know. I mean, they might, like, tolerate those politicians that gave them their way for a little bit. But eventually they will get them out of the office. And Fernando, could you, you mentioned something about Sharia law. And I believe that you were telling me a while back, probably a couple years ago, about Sharia law means that, like, for example, if a state has a Sharia law and a Muslim wife looks at another man, he can actually kill her, if that's what they believe. He can actually kill her or beat her. She can't call the cops if he beats her, because, you know, based upon a Sharia law, if it's in a state, it's not illegal because it's their religion. That's what you were telling me. So yeah, you wanna discuss something else now?
I mean, it's. You know, what's the Sharia law is actually what they believe. All Muslims believe that God's law. I mean, those imams that impose those, especially those radicals, you know, they do impose, you know, stuff like that. And if you want to go get the book by Robert, you know, Spencer about Sharia law, or you can go to jihadwatch.org. They'll talk about Sharia law and what it actually can do if somehow we replace the Sharia law in our Constitution, the United States Constitution, with Sharia law. So, a lot of stuff that you can learn from that. Go to jihadwatch.org if you can. So we're going to be switching. Hold on a second here. Here we go. Boom, 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 boom. Talking about a topic here today, we're going to let you Dawn talk over here for a little bit, and then we'll go back and forth. We'll talk about this topic right now. It's brought to you by ShopeeAndSuperHighway.com, and where you can get 5 or 2 to 35% cash back on your favorite things, whether you want toilet paper, computers, vitamins, supplements, dish soaps, Head on to shopthesuperhighway.com and shop until you drop. Here we go.
First of all, please forgive me for if I have any shortcomings or I'm not able to deliver this topic fully. However, I do, with God's grace and His wisdom, I want to kind of relay to you guys the topic that we were taught at the Members of the Church of God International. Fernando, do you have the address for the one in Illinois? Okay, we're going to get that address for you guys. So that way there, if you want to also attend, we'll just let you know that they do accommodate you if you do not speak the language Tagalog. The church started in the Philippines, and they speak in Tagalog. However, they have English subtitles, so if you'd like to watch closed captioning, kind of like the same thing, except for you hear a different language. Also, on Friday night, and Saturday mornings, they have where you can, if you like to listen and like put things in your ears, they have English interpretation. You know, those people, I see people walking around with those, I think they're like iPods or I don't know, something with white stuff in their ear. I don't know, headphones in their ear. You know, so if you don't mind having that in your ear, definitely. And I mean, but for the teachings, they're so pure. And it's definitely worth it. It is so definitely worth it. Actually, the address is 3575 Grand Avenue, Gurnee, Illinois. So that's 3575 Grand Avenue, Gurnee, Illinois. And you can look that up, MapQuest, if you want to. And services are at 8 p.m. on Thursday, so about 9:30 p.m. And on Friday, you know, if you ever have, like, insomnia, you don't have to fret no more. Why don't you go to church in the middle or beginning in the evening till the middle of the night? I mean, I remember when I used to, like, be like, oh, no, I can't sleep. I can't fall asleep. Well, now I don't have to worry about it because it's, like, other people are awake, you know. That service starts at 6 p.m. on Friday all the way till 4 a.m., sometimes 3 a.m., sometimes 5 a.m. So, yes, if you're like, oh, I can't take that long, you know, at church, well, they do give breaks. But when you're hearing the teaching, anyway, when you're learning about God, you shouldn't be like saying, what time is it, unless you have to go to work. If you have to go to work, my opinion is maybe you should talk to your boss so that you can stay at church longer. So that the Thursday night is the prayer meeting. The Friday night is the Thanksgiving. That is why it's so long, because it's a practice for giving thanks to God when you go to heaven. You're going to be giving thanks for eternity. So, you know, this is just like a practice for that. And it's really, we also have topics that are taught. And then if you can't make it on Friday evening, you can go at on Saturday morning, 7 a.m., and church all day then. Otherwise, if you make it Friday evening, you can come for be made to prayer meeting. You can also, the worship service starts at 6 p.m. on Saturday. So it's about 6 p.m. till about, I don't know, about 8:30 or 9, depending. Sometimes goes over at 8 o'clock p.m. So, yeah, lots of church, and I really like it. And I speak English, my primary language, but I'm desiring with the Lord's help to learn Tagalog and also Spanish. So we're going to go with the topic. The topic is the way God has proven that He desires all men to be saved according to the Bible. So the topic is the way God has proven that He desires all men to be saved according to the Bible. You know, although God desires all to be saved, some will not be saved. Now let's go to the Bible and see how some ways that God has proven that He desires all men to be saved according to the Bible. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Now, there comes a time where some people are not saved, that they refuse to serve God, they say they don't believe in God. And just, you know, for those people that may be listening right now called atheists or agnostics, that say that they don't believe in God, atheists say that, you know, do you believe in $1 million? Do you own $1 million? Okay, do you believe, if you said, yes, you believe there's $1 million, but you don't own $1 million, and you've never had $1 million and counted $1 million, how do you know it exists? Because there's proof, because there's how many people in the world, and if each person had at least $1, right? So God has given us proof of how to know that he exists. So let's go to, like, let's go to the Bible to find out the proof that God has given. All right, we have a caller, 9717. How are you doing?
What's up?
Nice to hear from you.
You know who this is?
This is Winston, right?
Yeah, this is me.
That's right, Fernando. Fernando kind of gave me heads up, because otherwise I probably would not have noticed that it was you. You sound like older. Maybe it's just because I haven't heard your voice in so long. I'm glad you called.
Where's Fernando at?
He's right here.
Well, you guys not gonna talk?
No, I'm on Facebook right now, and I got multiple people, you know, chatting and, you know, all that stuff. So I'm.
Yeah, I'm just pretty sure you're snoring over there.
We actually give you a heads up. We moved actually closer to you. We live in Illinois now, right? You know that, right? Illinois, actually Bolingbrook, Illinois. So
we moved again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we moved again. Yeah.
Really?
We're like gypsies.
Really? My goodness. I mean, one day you live in this part of Illinois, now you live in Chicago, now you're moving down to Brooklyn. What are you going to? I mean, really?
we're going to go keep heading south until we hit the pipelines by you there.
Yeah, you need to move down here by the pipelines, the great state of Mississippi, the most obese state in the world. A lot of fat people walking the streets. Probably got a couple up my door right now, begging for food. Yeah.
That's right. Well, Don's going to go through with the, we can discuss that, but we're going to go through with the topic. Actually, we're going through the Bible. The topic that we learned, a couple of weeks ago, and we go through that a couple days ago. And, we'll go through that, and, we'll ask your opinion, I want to ask your opinions on the thing. What do you feel about that mosque being built at the Ground Zero?
Well, I think they have, let's look at this as an American standpoint. I believe that they have every right to do that. I mean, they have the right to do that, but let's look more on the moral side of this and say, well, it's just inappropriate. Because I don't care what they say, these people wasn't linked, they have no proof, these people being linked to them, terrorists, being linked to the Muslim faith or the extremist Muslim faith. Well, I still believe that it's inappropriate to do that. Because it's like, this is what I compare it to. This is like a Catholic school getting built by a school. I mean, really. A Catholic priest moving in next to a school. I mean, I see it like that because, the Catholics have been known to be inappropriate to little children, and, that's a big issue in their faith. And that's why I kind of see like it's like a rapist moving in to next door to a school. I mean, that's why they have a law out that they can't do that. And I feel it's very inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, the thing is they did have a zoning for that, for the Ground Zero, or at least near the Ground Zero, where you can't, build anything, let alone a mosque. But anyway, Mayor Bloomberg and actually whoever's involved with that, I think we changed that zoning just to Because their moms, I think their moms complained to the city and also to, you know, whoever's backing him up.
Yeah,
they changed the zoning too. So now he's able to build that, I don't know, 17 or 18 story high, $100 million mosque over there. I mean, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see the Muslim extremists, you know, especially the Taliban and all of them. They're going to see this as a victory because, you know, what they actually did, well, it makes sense because I was reading one of the editorial photos, those pictures, you know, those sometimes are like, you know, they have those political views on the pictures on the image. Actually, there's two Islam extremists that are talking and says, good, you know, we clear the building out so we can build our mosque, you know, which is, that's what they're going to see, you know, that's what the other country is going to see, or the extremists are saying, hey, look, you know, we just cleared out, know, so they, we, they're going to call this a victory mosque.
It's very inappropriate. I mean, like I said, it's mind-boggling with these people. I don't understand. They can't move it 5 blocks away. Why does it have to be next to the ground zero? And then the other side to this issue is that it will be educational. Well, if I were to learn about this faith, I think I have enough sense to go to the library. I don't need them to tell me about their own faith. The only thing I got to do is read their Holy Bible. And it clearly says that they want to kill non-believers. And they may dispute that. True.
You know, let's not forget about their mom. Their mom that's, you know, whoever, their mom's actually wants to impose the Sharia law. And, you know where that going? The Sharia law that replaced institutions with what they call Sharia law. So I'm just, you know, praying that, I mean, if God's going to allow it, it's going to happen. No one's going to, you know, stop that if God's going to allow it. But what I'm just saying is we're going to do the best we can. You know, we have to be knowledgeable. We have to be, you know, we have to speak up and say, wait a minute, you know. And I think this is because of this, liberal thinking or progressive thinking is going to drive our, you know, the United States, our nation, to the ground. We need you up in the White House. We need you up there. We need you up in the White House.
Yeah. We have, I hate to say it, and I wish I wasn't true, but we have a pretty idiot in the White House. We have an idiot in the White House, and you know I hate to say that, and I wish I could say we had a brilliant man in the White House. And I'm not saying he's stupid. I'm just saying he just makes some stupid decisions right now, and he's made some very stupid decisions that has hurt him. I believe he's a good man, but still, again, that the issue that upon us today has made stupid remarks and stupid. Only good one I've heard out of him that he doesn't support gay marriage. That's the only one I really favor. And that's why I'm not calling him just out there stupid, because I believe he has good intent, but he's let his people, that his advisors, give him bad decision, bad advice, and he don't process his own thoughts. He just goes on what they want, and he must listen to the American people. I mean, at the same time, so I mean,
he wants to surround himself with this, you know, liberal and progressive thinkers, and now, I mean, you know, look at the Supreme Court. I mean, who's the new was it Kagan?
Yeah, Kagan, whatever her name was, I don't know. She's the biggest upset. My gosh. I mean, we are, as Americans, elected this guy. This is our fault. Let's go ahead and blame it on ourselves. Let's don't play the, you know, boom point game. We elected this fool. We elected this guy. Now we got to deal with his, you know, he's, as a liberal, this is what liberals do. Exactly what liberals do. Okay? We knew what he was going to do, but we voted him in because he sounds so good. And he's better than Bush. Oh, gosh, he sounds so good. And I believe that we made a big, big, big mistake by doing that, letting his words during his campaign get us before we had to look what he did when he was a senator.
Right, but when you say we made a big mistake, I mean, I don't think we did because he didn't. I mean, I don't think. I mean, you didn't vote, but we didn't vote for the guy.
Yeah.
But in a sense, I understand what you're saying. Also, the the topic of California, actually. I mean, are you remember that the same-sex marriage ban actually in California
yeah.
was actually lifted off by just one judge?
Yeah, they actually a few weeks ago, a few days ago, banned it again. So they can't in San Francisco, so they can't get married anymore in San Francisco. The judge, did you hear about that?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's still, you know, they're still fighting on that. It's still going to go to the highest.
Exactly.
So we don't know yet. But I'm just saying, is you know, that's how liberal thinks. They don't, you know, they're not going to care about your vote. They're not going to care what you think. You know, they just care for their, you know, personal gain, for their whatever they think is right, which is not right.
Exactly.
Okay. So what you been doing lately, man?
Huh?
What you been doing? How's your show? How's your radio show on the other station?
I haven't done my show in a I haven't done my show in a while. I've been back and forth producing the Ken Pettigrew show and on been doing a show on Town Hall Radio, townhall.com, and been doing some advocating work for the Tea Party down here in Mississippi, and been doing my voiceover career has picked up. I gave you my website link. Go check it out.
Good, man. You should give me some voiceover.
I will. No charge.
Oh,
but,
right.
Yeah. You just go and look at my raise. I just got through producing a movie trailer for the Philippines, to be matter of fact.
Really?
It's a movie trailer I did. It's called The Rolling Hills. It's a strange movie trailer. But apparently, as the script said, it's about a young boy who loves flowers. But, I mean, it kind of sounds kind of fruity at first. I'm like, what, do I really want to do this? But when they pop that offer up for $300, like, whoa, now, hold on a minute. You know, for a little script, man, that's pretty good. But it's really big over there. And it's more for the English Americans over there in the Philippines. It's more, and see, the translator, they need a translator. They don't speak Philippine, but they needed a movie trailer for all kind of language because I'm pretty sure, you know, English over there, Spanish and all that over there. So I did the English version of it.
I see that. Where's the website, man? What's your website and where,
I'll put it in the Facebook chat.
Facebook?
You need me to... Facebook. I'll put it in the Facebook chat.
I want you to say it online. I mean, on the
Okay, it's WinstonVoice.webs, WEBS.com. That's WinstonVoice.webs.com. Go there. Very simple rates. I have a $3,000 microphone and a $2,000 a voice processor with about $300 software. So, I mean, you know, and 2 years experience of editing.
So,
you're getting a good bargain, and I can give you a dry cut. I can give you a sample for free.
That is cool.
Except
for my
voice. That's cool.
That's cool, man. Oh, yeah. So that's going to be WinstonVoice.webs.com. I will post a note. I'll also post the link on the Blog Talk Radio. So I'll do that. And yeah, if you could do me some of the samples of what you do, man, that would be great. So we're gonna go into
Email me the script. What do you want it to say? Just email it to Winston Voice. No way. I probably got that mixed up. You know what? Let me just make sure of that.
Send it to me through Facebook or just email it to me.
Okay, I'll send you my email address. And you can just email me the script, and I'll try to get to you maybe tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. We'll do
maybe
that.
Maybe not. I'll never know.
I'll shoot you that, man. There we go. Don's going to finish this topic that we're going to talk about. And if you want to listen in, Winston, you want to welcome to a nice talking to you again. We have about, 20 minutes. Hey, I do my show every Sunday night, 9 or 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm trying to do a 3 times a week like I did before, but I'm not, you know, God's not allowing me to find some time. So, you know, just keep up or, you know, get in touch with me on Facebook, man. Hold on just a second, okay?
All right.
All right. So we just were talking about the way God has proven that he desires all men to be saved according to the Bible. And we just to recap, we read the book of John chapter 13, verse 19, as proof of if and when people are not saved, it is not the will of God. And the proof that God's word is truth. Let's see, go to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 19, to see the proof that Jesus has said. It is written, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he." And, you know, as we look around today, there's a lot of things coming to pass that Jesus has already told us about, how mother will be against daughter, and child will be against the parent. So that's just one of the proofs that of Jesus warned us about. The Bible is the one authentic religious book. The main point for man to believe is because Jesus spoke of it before it comes to pass. And let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 to find out another thing that Jesus has spoke before it came to pass. It's the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 3. It is written, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" There was so another way is that Jesus proved that he was and is God, God's Son, is that there were witnesses. Besides God's word coming true, there were also witnesses. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. It is written, "God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." Now, those are documentary evidence. Brother Ellie says the word of God has God's signature. Many people say, "Oh, God signed it," you know, like nowadays when we see signature, like usually you're signing something, but God's signature cannot be forged because his word comes to pass. That's God's signature, is his word, and when it comes to pass, nobody can forge that. There are false pastors out there saying they can heal you, right? And many of us have heard of them, but why don't they go to the hospitals? And you know, why do you have to come to them? It's because of they want your money, because they usually ask you, "Oh, we're going to take up tithe," and sometimes they'll say, "You don't really have to," but you know they want you to give like money to them. That's why you have to come to them rather than going to your house. They don't go to your house. They say they can heal you, but they don't go to the hospital. They don't go to your house. And then if you're not healed, a lot of pastors will blame you because they said that you didn't believe. And they'll use Bible verses for that. But, you know, as it's written in the Bible with the book of Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness, even Satan used Bible verses, you know. So you really have to know the Bible in order to, and the context of what you're hearing. You hear that? That's a fire alarm, false alarm, I think, because we're living in a house that, you know, we're in the studio. Yeah, I think they're testing their fire alarm. Danny, you want to go check on that? Oh, okay. Yep, it's a test. All right. We've got 15 minutes left. Now, the true pastors have evidence. Why does God have to prove? Let's go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Now let's go to also the book of of Romans chapter 1, verse 19, to find out what are some of the proofs that God has sent to us so that we know that he exists, also known as his signature. This is the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. It is written, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So there are those that make excuses for why they don't believe. Like, oh, well, if only I can hear God's voice. You know, I was watching a movie one time, and the guy was, like, so angry with God. And he's like, oh, if God, I'll believe in God if he makes this cup fall off the table. Well, he wanted, like, the cup to just fall. He didn't see that somebody got up and bumped the table, and the cup fell. So the cup fell off the table like he wanted it to, but he said, oh, no, that's not God, because somebody else did it. You know, there's people that will make excuses. Let's go back to the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It is written, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You know, God doesn't buy excuses. God has given us many examples of his existence. God gives not only proof for his word by having it come to pass, but also his existence. For example, soil, like dirt. Soil is tasteless. If you plant lemons, lemons will taste sour. But if you uproot them and plant sugarcane, the sugarcane will be sweet. If you uproot that and plant chili peppers, the chili pepper will be spicy. You cannot explain why soil has no taste. I mean, because if you just like have in your cup lemonade, and then you go and you put sugar after you rinsed it out, or like you rinse it out but not very well, it will still have a lemony taste when you add sugar to it. And besides, you can't drink sugar. And just like with the chili peppers, I mean, usually things especially if when you're growing stuff, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't just rinse it out. It sits there. So if you have like lemons in a bowl and you don't wash it, you know, it's going to still have the lemony smell, right? I would think so, you know. So let's go to the book of Luke chapter 21, verse 15 to find out what else God has shown to us. It is written, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." How can man do it without divine intervention? There's many things like that you have to talk to somebody, just like when Paul was in front of the ruler, you know. God gave him the wisdom and the words to say to that ruler. And the ruler said, I believe it was Caesar, he said that you almost persuaded me to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, or to become a Christian. Why God proves his word to those that believe, and why God proves to those that do not believe, so they will not have excuse. So let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 31. That's the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 31, to find out why God proves his word to those that believe and why God proves to those that do not believe so they will not have excuse. The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 31, it is written, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." God has proof that there is even judgment. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 20, the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 21 to find out what proof there is that there is a judgment coming. It is written in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, atheists, you know, say there is no God, right? But it cannot be refuted. It's written in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, you know, if atheists don't believe in God, why do they die? Do they have a reason why they die? Can they prove why they die? I mean, God's word was written centuries ago, even millenniums ago, and there is proof right there. Is Judgment Day real? Yes. God appointed death. Can anyone escape it? No. What is the certain end of man that have refused to believe God once they've seen the proof of God? Let's go to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 through verse 9, to find out what is the certain end of man that have refused to believe in God once they've seen the proof of God. It is written in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You see, no one will escape. Go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? It is okay if we are persecuted because we will receive the salvation of God. Let's go back to the, let's go back to the book of 2 Thessalonians, but a different chapter. Chapter 3, verse 2, it is written, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And you know that. You see that around. You see that. And that we may be delivered, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So in God's word right there, there's even another proof of, if you look around, sometimes you see people and they just seem so unreasonable. And you also see people that don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus Christ as the true way, the one and only way. Some people believe that Jesus is just one of the ways. But when you look at the book of John, chapter 14, verse 18, I believe it is, Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't use the word of. Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you hear any word of in there? You know, a lot of people believe that Jesus is one of the ways, but I did not hear that or see that. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you're going to see, like in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 2. You're going to see that. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. There are people that are hard-headed and will not believe. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 48, find out that proof in the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 48, it is written,
And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. I'll read it again. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained eternal life believed. So there will be people that do not believe. When someone tries to corner Brother Ellie, you know, he starts to shine and his answers are by God's grace of righteousness. And even better, because he is called of God. And God gives him wisdom and God shines through Brother Ellie. And it's really nice to see, you know, when somebody's answering you from the Bible. It's, I mean, I've seen many pastors that just, you know, you ask them a question, they just answer you like, off the top of your head. I've even, like, I mean, one of the places that we live, the guy said he's a preacher, right? So he gave us an answer. We asked him something, we needed help, and we told him about that, and he told us something, like, so quickly. And then he called us back and gave us the same reply, you know, just to reaffirm what he first told us. Well, when it came to pass, he said, oh, that's why I don't like to give my word on the spot. Well, you know what? When you give your word, you need to try to keep to your word, especially if you're a pastor. So I'm just really thank God so much that Fernando and I, that we, you know, and our kids, that we, I mean, I thank God that Fernando and I and our kids, we know the Bible and we have the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we were newborn Christians, I mean, just came to the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith may have been shaken because that guy claimed to be a preacher. And he was so, you know, I mean, he didn't keep his word. So I really want to just give thanks to God that for everything God has done for us. And, you know, pray for your enemies. That's my advice to you. We didn't get to finish the topic, but if it's the Lord's will, maybe we'll continue with that on the next show. Just stay tuned to Fernando's Facebook to find out if we're going to do part two of that. If I had any shortcomings or I didn't deliver that topic fully, please forgive me for that. And if you want to also, if you have any questions about your faith or if you're an atheist or you just like really don't agree with the teachings that I was just speaking, you know, and you have questions about it, or if you just want to debate Brother Ellie, or you have questions about the Bible, please go on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time to livestream.com/ELISORIANO. That's Ellie Soriano. So go ahead and ask him that on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.